I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. Like I said, I'm one of these guys. I can't even. It's amazing. That's turned on. You know, I was thinking about, wow, that's really up there. I was thinking about the dodgeball tournament, and it reminded me of an announcement I had made, because my opening illustration reminded me of the dodgeball tournament, and you'll see in a minute it's about cookies, and we need people to bring cookies. But we're getting everything out of the gym and putting it in the storage shed Thursday night. The inspection from the city is going to come look at the storage shed Thursday, Mike told me. And so if you're available after choir, we're going to meet here at 8 o'clock. Choir's at 6:30. But at 8 o'clock, those who could help, we're going to push pretty much everything except for the bleachers into the storage area. So if you could help with that. Now, cookies. My story about cookies is from no one other but Paul Harvey. Anybody like Paul Harvey? I love Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey. I mean, I can't imitate the guy. The guy is just unique, awesome guy, godly guy. But Paul Harvey tells a story of a three-year-old boy and his mother. And Paul Harvey says, we all need to be more like this three-year-old boy. You see, this three-year-old boy and his mother went to the grocery store. And before they got in the grocery store, they're in the car. And the mom turned around. She goes, whatever you do, don't ask for cookies today. Don't ask for chocolate chip cookies. You're not going to get any. Now, I can relate to that. I mean, and it's not me saying that to my kids. It's Kelly saying that to me. But she said, whatever you do, do not be asking for chocolate chip cookies. And so she got little three-year-old boy, put him in the cart, you know, the little seat. And so they're pushing around. And the first thing, you know, they're going around. The mom knew she had to go by the cookie aisle because there's other items that are there. And so as they were pushing it by, the boy stood up in the cart and he said, Mom, cookies! Can I have some cookies? Chocolate chip cookies? No. I told you. No matter how much you ask, you're not getting cookies. So don't even ask. Sit down. So she's pushing him around again and again. Parents, you understand? Can you relate to this? I mean, when Joseph was a little baby, he was consumed with the big balloons in grocery stores. I mean, Kelly and I would be like, oh, balloon, let's go this way. I'm serious, because he'd go, balloon, 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 balloon. So anyway, she's going up and down, but they always were coming by the cookie aisle again, and the little kid again, cookies, Mom, cookies, cookies, cookies. She said, no. He did it three times. And then finally, they're getting to the checkout line, and the boy realized it was his last ditch effort that he could call for cookies, and he stood up in the cart and he said, in Jesus' name, may I please have some cookies? And all the people around him started laughing. The mom was embarrassed, and due to the generous people around them, the mom and the boy left the store with 23 packages of cookies. Pray for cookies. Okay, we need some cookies, by the way. There's a list back there of some things we need. So, why am I saying this? Folks, we ought to pray and never give up. We need to pray and never give up. That's what we need. And we need to expect that God will listen. We need to know that God will listen. Too often, we pray without expecting a response from God. If it really came down to our hearts, a lot of times we pray and we're not expecting anything from God. But that needs to change, and we give up praying. The scriptures today show that persistent prayer is where we need to go. And persistent prayer has been widely practiced by God's people. If you look through the Old Testament, you see that they persisted in prayer. If you continue onto the New Testament, you see that the early church persisted in prayer. Let me give you some examples. When Jesus, immediately after he ascended to heaven, it says the disciples and the women found themselves constantly in prayer. Constantly. We've already studied Acts 2:42. We're told the early church was devoted to prayer, right? And they continued this throughout the book of Acts. And we've been talking about that. We've been talking about digging deeper in your prayer life. People are doing that Sunday night. They want to be better at prayer. They want to get closer to God. And is that an advertisement for the class? Absolutely, because I know what that could do in your life. With following God, with walking with Him. Constantly in prayer. And if we had time, I'd give you example after example in the New Testament that the church was always before God. And do you know what the results of those prayers were from the early church? They moved through pagan Rome. Within a couple of hundred years, it became a Christian nation. Okay? Somebody say, well, that's a couple hundred years. Folks, if you knew what Rome was like, if you knew what the early Christians went through in their persecution, what Nero did to them, what other leaders did to them because they professed Christ, no one had ever thought Rome would become a Christian nation. But the early church, they prayed. They prayed. They sought the Lord. The church was empowered by God's power and was a powerful witness to the world. Prayer is, I believe, one of the greatest and most utilized weapons we have at our disposal. You know, I quote Charles Spurgeon. Our board this last year went over a book about Spurgeon and his prayer life. But Charles Spurgeon said he'd rather teach one person to pray than 10 people to preach. You know that? That's the Prince of Preachers that said that. Because he knew the power of that one prayer warrior and what that meant. He'd rather teach one person to pray, one man to pray, than 10 men to preach. And of course, Jesus knew this. Our Lord knows this. And that's why he told his disciples about a certain widow who persisted in prayer. I've talked about us being in the greatest hits. Now, you might not know this parable, but I consider it a greatest hit because Jesus taught in what? Parables. Yeah. It's the way he tried to get his point across a lot of the time. So we're looking at one of his parables today about prayer and to learn essential elements of persistent prayer. So would you pray with me? Father God, Lord, open up this scripture. Lord, I just ask that you penetrate hearts this morning, that you personally show someone in their life where their prayer life is, where it is in persistence. Whether they've given up or they're going forward or they need to start new this morning, Lord, I just pray that you show them. I don't believe it's an accident that we're looking at this or we had looked at what we saw last week, praying first. And Lord, I believe that's because of an answer to people who have prayed in this church, Christians who've prayed in this community. So, Lord, just open up the truth to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to Luke 18 with me. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through God's word. A reading from God's holy word in Luke 18, starting in verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? You may be seated. Persistent prayer. That's the first thing that we're looking at. The story has two primary characters, right? A widow and a judge. One of great power, one of little power. One very considered insignificant in that society. If you're here this morning and you think, I can't do much for God, I'm pretty insignificant. You know what God says to that? Wrong! I'll say it like that. Okay? Absolutely wrong. You're not insignificant in Jesus Christ's eyes. Okay? And he could use you in a powerful way. Just as using this story of this lady. Absolutely. This judge is a heartless man, fearing neither God nor man. And here comes this poor widow. She's seeking after justice. Like I said, she has no clout. She has no powerful attorney next to her. She doesn't have any money to maybe bribe the judge or something like that. I don't know if that ever goes on. Maybe, maybe not. She doesn't have any of that stuff. She doesn't. She seems completely helpless against her adversary. Completely helpless. And really, she couldn't count on a fair ruling against from this unjust judge. But what does verse 3 says? The widow kept coming. Okay? The only weapon that this widow had was her persistence. Folks, if she wasn't persistent, nothing would have ever happened. Do y'all get that? Do you see that? If she just gave up the first time, nothing would have happened. But she was persistent. And remember, God's relating this to prayer. Okay? God wants us to be persistent in prayer. Look how Luke introduces this parable. Now, I was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. That's the reason for this parable. Even though the woman's not praying, it's the persistence that Jesus is talking about. Again, Charles Spurgeon says, prayer pulls the rope down below the great bell above. Prayer pulls the rope down below and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so they're not energetic. I can't get the word out. Lord, please let me say my words correct today. Others give only an occasional jerk at the rope. But he who communicates with heaven is a man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all of his might. Do you want to see people trusting Christ in this church? Do you want to see people, your friends, your neighbors, who are unbelievers coming to Jesus? Do you want to see you coming in someday and this thing being open and your friend or your family members being baptized? Then be persistent in prayer. And I can tell you, folks, these things have happened in our church. They have absolutely happened in our church because I believe people have prayed. People have prayed, okay? If you want to see those things happen, you need to grab the rope of prayer and don't just pull it once, folks. You got to seek God out. And you got to be pulling on that rope. I'm going to get the neighbors over here. I'm pulling the rope, you people that can't see me on the other side. Now, what if I pull this long enough? Am I going to get some people's attention? Yeah? Yeah, it's still ringing a little bit. But how, I pulled my back when I ran down the stairs. But I'm okay, okay. Pray for my back. But pull it persistently, believing that God is listening. Okay? Be persistent. That God is listening. That God is willing to act. And the more great things will happen in this church, outside of this church. What did Jesus say in Luke 11, 9 through 10? You might write that down. Luke 11, 9 through 10. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Guess what, folks? We got to keep knocking. Don't just knock once. You got to keep knocking. So persistence. Now there's a second element that we need to concern ourselves with. If we are to be going to be a church that's committed to persistent prayer. And the next thing is insistent prayer. Persistent prayer, insistent prayer. The widow showed resolve. Okay? She was tenacious. She wasn't going to give up. She was insistent. Verse 3 states that the widow kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now, I know some of you, when I say she's in court before a judge, you're thinking of an American court right now, aren't you? It was nothing like that. If you ever gone to court, okay, like when I had to take one of my kids to court to pay a ticket, right? They have an orderly system where you go in and you meet with this person and then there's a judge up there and this person goes first. And I'll tell you what, if you want to give a teenager or a friend a wake-up call, go to civil court or go to one of the local courts and just sit there and watch some of the things that are going on. You're going to say, man, my life isn't that bad. But it was, court was different in that day. You had one judge. You had all these people, frankly, coming up. It was loud. It was noisy. And only the person getting in front of the judge could be heard. So you had people, and you had this little old lady that had to fight through the crowd every day to get to this judge. People are shoving. People are putting. Think of Black Friday courtroom, okay? I mean, I'm serious. You ever seen those pictures of Black Friday? And the shoppers, that's what it is, man. They're all trying to get to the judge. And that lady kept fighting. She was insistent. She was doing it. I mean, everyone tried to outshout everyone else to get the judge's attention. But she was so persistent and insistent that the judge granted her plea. I mean, she said, man, she's... there she is again, coming up to the judge. We must keep our prayers going up to God with the same resolve that this lady had, with the same tenacity, the same refusal to give up, the same intensity that she has. And God rejoices in our insistence. He can't wait to hear from us. He can't. He wants us to pray and not give up. And this is the one of the ways he releases his power in our lives. Now, let me be clear on a subject like this. This isn't the name it and claim it crud that's out there. Okay? The name it and claim it says, you know, you have this power of faith and whatever. If you have this, the strong enough faith, you pray, God's going to give it to you. Whatever you ask, you can control God. Wrong. That's the name it and claim it junk that's out there. I'm not talking about that today. I want to be clear about that. But God does release his power in our lives when we pray. Okay? Here's the thing with insistent prayer. It's important that we are insistent with specifics. With specifics. Notice that this widow had a particular situation in mind. Grant me justice against my adversary. There was a particular adversary in her life who was doing particular things that she was dealing with. whatever you pray about, folks, be specific. Specific. Let me give you an example. Don't pray, forgive my sins. Wait a minute. Did the pastor just say don't pray to forgive my sins? Wait a minute. As Paul Harvey would say, there's a rest of the story there, okay? Don't pray, forgive my sins. Name those sins individually. Be specific about them. Bring them before the throne of God. Don't pray, heal the sick, but mention the people by name. Mention those people who are sick and what they're going through. We did this morning. Mention those. Okay, we have, wait a minute. Wow, look at the back of the bulletin. You got some names back there. I'll tell you what, man, if this whole church went home and prayed over these names specifically, and some of you don't know what they are, just as health concerns, pray specifically for these people. I know there's a few people in our church that do this, but what if we all did this? What do you think? Pretty incredible. Pray specifically. Don't pray, be with all the missionaries, but name them and pray for their specific needs. There's a missionary board in the back that once a month our missions committee puts up. John Kasner's great at getting this together. And missionaries we need to pray for, and they have specific things about their missionary, their ministry that we need to pray about. Okay? So remember that. Remember that. When you're praying for the growth of our church, pray for special events, you know. Pray for the dodgeball tournament. Pray for the Chris Cakes outreach. Pray for Easter, the Easter egg hunt. Easter Sunday. Pray for a person you need to invite that day. Pray for the outreach. Pray for the bus ministry. Pray for me. Pray for elders. Pray for deacons by name. Pray for your Bible teachers. Pray for the Awana leaders by name. Or VBS leaders or your Sunday school teacher. Pray for those people by name. Pray for those specific times of outreach and fellowship. I was sharing with the board yesterday a story about Howard Hendricks. I kind of gave him a general overview. But here's the story. It's just an awesome story. Howard Hendricks said, years ago in a church in Dallas, we were having trouble finding a teacher for the junior high boys class. Well, duh, come on. I'll teach junior high boys. But it's a tough age. But we have some, good kids in our church. But he said the list of prospects had only one name. And when they told me who it was, I said, you got to be kidding me. But I couldn't have been more wrong about the young man, Howard Hendricks said. He took the class and revolutionized it. So I was so impressed, I invited him to my home for lunch, and I asked him the secret of his success, and he pulled out a little black book. I know y'all are thinking in the gutter right away, black book. But on each page, he had a small picture of one of the boys, and under the boy's name were comments like, having trouble with arithmetic. Comes to church against the parents' wishes. Never happened to a teenager, did it? Or would like to be a missionary someday, but doesn't think he has what it takes. This young teacher says, I pray over these pages every day, he said, and I can hardly wait to come to church each Sunday to see what God is doing in these boys' lives. Isn't that great? What if we all had that attitude? What do you think that would do to our church? Every class. That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, in our lesson this week, in the battle plan for prayer, on Tuesday of our weekly lesson, they had us list 10 people. and pray for one thing. I put about two or three things for each person. But to pray for them, specific things in their lives. And he said, put a bookmark there. Okay? Go back and see what's going on. And that brings me to the next thing. Folks, when we pray specifically, God will answer specifically. A prayer diary helps us keep our prayers insistent and specific. Men, you don't have to call it a diary, okay? Journal. That's why I put journal up there. Okay? A prayer journal. You get a small notebook and start writing prayer requests down. I use my computer. You could use your, anyway, smartphones now. Make a list on your phone and have it come up and pray for people. Have a prayer list on there. Note the date and the time you prayed for that person. And then note the date that God had an answer. Do that. And keep on praying. Keep praying. Keep praying specifically. And you'll have an answer from God. It might not be the answer you want, right? Might not be the answer you want. But it's the answer that God knows is the right answer. And so, because God knows better than we, amen? Sometimes we don't want to admit that. But he does. Sometimes we argue with him about that. But he still does. And so we need to be persistent. We need to be insistent. And then also, folks, the third essential element is consistent prayer. I know these are kind of synonyms. But it's all related. Consistent prayer. The widow showed up constantly, every day. Consistently. Repeatedly. Look at verse 5. And because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. This is the all-powerful judge. And here comes this little widow. I mean, I could see him going, oh, she's here again. Man, this lady won't quit. I thought she'd go away 3 days ago. All right, I'm going to give her what she wants. You know, he relented because of her unbearable nuisance. Cookies! Right? Her constant badgering wore him down to a point that he consented to grant her legal protection from her opponent. Now, I'm not saying here you're going to wear down God, okay? It's not what I'm saying. We cannot compare God with the judge's behavior here, or with the person of the judge, folks. We need to understand that this is a parable of contrasts, not comparisons. We need to understand that. Jesus tells us that our Heavenly Father is not like the unjust judge. His point is that if this godless, corrupt judge would respond to a widow because of her constant persistence, how much more will a loving God respond to us in our time of need? Remember, folks, need, not want. Our time of need. Okay, Jesus says in verse 8, he will see that we get justice and quickly. Now, that does not mean that God jumps every time we ask him for something. Again, this isn't the name it and claim it junk that's out there. But I've had said, you ever had somebody say a lie about you? I've had somebody say lies about me. And instead of knocking their block off, God called me to pray for that person. I prayed that the truth be revealed, that the lie be exposed. And guess what happened? The lies were exposed. But I was persistent. I was persistent. I prayed prayers like from the Psalms, Lord, trip them up by their words. Don't let their falsehood grow. And God answered. But it wasn't 2 days of praying. It took a lot more than that. Okay? God might want to see if we're faithful and that we will continue faithfully in our prayers and be obedient to Him. I mean, God knows our needs before we ask. But maybe part of that time we're being persistent and persistent and persistent the whole time, God wanted you and me to get closer to Him. That's why He's making you wait a little time. Because through that persistence, through that constantly going to Him in prayer, you're growing closer and you're growing closer to Him. See, like I said, God knows better than we do. He absolutely does. He's like a wise father. He answers according to what's best for us. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we lose that constant focus on Him. Let me give you an example. When her husband, Edmund, gravely died at the controls of his small plane while on the way to Statesboro, Georgia, his wife, Janice, kept the plane aloft for 2 hours until it ran out of fuel. And during this time, she sang hymns and she prayed for help. And as the plane crossed the South Carolina-North Carolina border, she radioed for help. Help! Help! Won't somebody help me? My pilot's unconscious. Would somebody help me? Now the authorities who picked up the distress signal were not able to reach her by radio during the flight. She kept calling in saying, help me, help me. But they tried to radio back and she wouldn't answer. Why? Because she kept changing channels. They couldn't get through to her. Because she was only on one channel for a moment. Then she'd go to the next, and then go to the next, and go to the next. Mrs. Gravely, they said, finally made a rough landing. It was so rough she got hurt and she crawled for 45 minutes to a farmhouse. But if she had only stayed on the same channel, she could have landed softly. How many times do Christians change the channel? How many times we go to pray to God and then the next, you just stopped and, well, I'm going to try to do it with this self-help book, or I'm going to do it with this over here or with that over there, and you keep changing channels. And you're not persistently seeking God in prayer. How many times we turn to other sources for help, we eventually believe God will not give us help. Folks, when we cry out to God for intervention, He wants us to be consistent, stay on track. He wants us to keep on praying for His blessings in our lives and on His ministry, folks, on His ministry. This is God's church. It's His ministry. Many want church their way, but is our way God's way? Is it God's way? Now, church that needs to grow must never shortchange the ministry of prayer. I'm talking about spiritual growth first, and then numerical growth. We must be a people involved in prayer. And we are in a lot of aspects of our church. Like I've said many times, I'm not up here going, Dad, Maywood. I'm not doing that. We have a lot of great prayer ministries. I was blessed to pray with some men this morning before the service. We prayed today. Tonight we're going to pray after the class. I know that Bible studies during the week have prayed, that have met various Bible studies in our church. They've prayed. Okay, that's wonderful that's going on in our church. But you know what? One day we're going to stand before God, all of us individually. He's not going to look at your neighbor. Okay? He's going to look at you. He's going to look at me and he's going to say, is he going to say, well done? Is he going to say, you spent too much time being busy? Or did he say, well done, you spent a lot of time being busy at prayer? What is he going to say to us? What is he going to say? Folks, I get convicted myself when I go through this stuff. He shows me areas where I need to pray more. I always need to make those commitments to him. And so I believe the question God's asking us today is, will you persist in prayer? Have God ask you that personally. Who Put your name there. Will you put your name there? Persist in prayer. And not give up. And not give up. God wants you and I to be committed to Him. Seek Him out. Okay? Seeking Him out for His will in your life, for His will in our church. And so I want to encourage you to be persistent in your prayers. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just come to You and seek Your face and follow You. Lord, I have no doubt in a group this size, not everybody can characterize themselves as a prayer warrior, and we all can improve. You know, it's interesting, Lord, those who I believe are the strongest prayer warriors always tell me that they need to pray more. And I remember somebody asked Billy Graham, if you could do it all more over again, what would you change? And he said, more time in prayer and more time in Bible study. Lord, I pray that You show people here their prayer life. And people make new commitments to You. Lord, I'm going to start being persistent in prayer. Lord, I'm going to be devoted to prayer. Lord, I want to learn to pray. And they just make new commitments to pray to You today. That they pray to You every day. That they don't give up. Maybe some people today said, you know what, I could make a prayer journal. I could do that. Show them the area where they need to do it, whether it be on their phone, whether it be on their computer, whether it be in a notebook. Lord, I saw notebooks for 95 cents at the store. And that could be somebody's battle plan. That 95 cent notebook. Lord, we just commit this to You. But of course we know, Lord, somebody truly cannot have that growing relationship, that strong prayer life, unless they truly, truly know You personally as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here and they see their need for a Savior, that they don't know when they die if they're going to heaven. They don't know. They can't tell me. I know that for sure, Pastor. Let them see that Jesus is God the Son, that He came down and became man. On the third day He rose again. He's alive today. And He wants to come into their lives. He wants to come. You want to come into their lives and heart, Lord. And they just need to let You know that they believe in You and what You did for them, and ask You to come forgive their sins, come into their life. Father God, if there's anybody here that needs to do that, Lord, I pray they seek You right now. Father God, we commit this all to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.